Captain's Log, January 14th, 2157. We spent the past 3 weeks in orbit around Iceway 3, working with the inhabitants to establish a new ruling body after removal of their dictator, Sadapa Prime. After investigating the planet's few remaining historical records, apparently Sadapa had most of them destroyed upon rising to power, we have come to the realization that Sadapa is the latest in line of dictators. These people have been under fascist rule for the past millennium. I have stationed Major Goldman and his Makos on the planet as a peacekeeping force until the election of the new ruling body can be held, but we have run into continual difficulties as to many of the residents of this planet. Freedom is both an alien and frightening concept. Likewise, we are working on diplomatic relations with its neighboring planets and former victims, which add complications as they are unwilling and unable to believe change is on the horizon, and to learn how to forgive and forget. Meanwhile, we have yet to recover the missing missiles, and Starfleet is less than happy we have devoted so much time to this mission. My own belief is that the missiles were disposed of before Sadapa was removed from power to hide his transgressions.
Captain, Goldman's calling from the capital.
Put him through. What's going on, Major?
The militia is coming along, but the opposition is on the rise. For some unknown reason, there are people in this godforsaken dust bowl that actually want Sadapa in power.
A man like Sadapa doesn't rise to power without supporters. With him gone, they lose their influence.
Well, between the midnight raids and the sniper attacks, they're not making it easy. We also lost two more men to a raiding party last night.
I'm extremely sorry to hear that, Major. I'll work on putting together letters to their families.
We all knew the risks when we signed up, but they'll still be missed, sir.
I concur. How goes the local recruitment?
About the time we've talked a dozen men into joining the militia, the opposition strikes and drives them all away again. Wouldn't it just be easier to call in Starfleet and have them take over? Maybe we could turn this place into an Earth colony. It would make things a lot simpler if we could just bring in an established governing body.
We didn't come here to conquer, Major. If we bring in more people and take over, it would make us just as bad as they are. No, we're going to do this the right way and help them establish themselves as a race.
Sorry for the interruption, Captain, but we have another bogey coming in.
Got to let you go, Major.
Goldman out.
What is it this time, Lieutenant?
Esapi 4 has launched what appears to be a crude explosive-filled rocket at Esapi 3. The guidance system is primitive at best, and the propulsion is rudimentary, but it could do some damage if it manages to actually make it through the void and hit the planet.
Can you tell me where an Esapi 4 came from?
The Crestarian, sir.
Avery, raise the Crestarian Prime Minister for me. Mary, take the missile out.
Phase cannons are online. Target destroyed, Captain.
Good shooting, Lieutenant.
I've been getting plenty of practice lately.
I've got the Prime Minister, sir.
Put him on. Prime Minister, we've had this discussion before.
Captain, you have no right to interfere in us taking our rightful vengeance.
I'll admit that you have a right to be angry, Prime Minister, but you have a right to justice, not revenge. The man responsible for tormenting your people is in custody. All you're going to accomplish by firing off random missiles is hurting innocent civilians, just like what was done to you. Prime Minister, I know you're a good man, and if you actually hurt someone who didn't deserve it, it would tear you up inside. So for your own sake, stop trying.
Your sense of justice is too slow, Captain. Turn Sadapa over to us, and we'll make sure he pays for his crimes, and you can keep your hands clean.
If I were to turn him over to you, I'd just be as guilty as if I pulled the trigger myself. Trust me, Prime Minister, Sadapa will pay for his crimes, but it must be done legally.
Your sense of legalism, Captain, not ours.
Look at it this way. If you take him out and execute him, he becomes a martyr to those who still follow him. If he's found guilty of his crimes and punished by his own countrymen, however, it won't be questioned, and it will tear down his ego like nothing else can.
He will be humiliated?
Humiliations galore.
That is a noble cause.
Does that mean you'll stop attacking Iceway 3?
It does, for now. Provided things go as you say, there may yet be peace between our planets.
No pressure.
Beg your pardon, Captain?
Go down and prep Shuttle Pod 2 for launch. I want to go planetside and pay a visit to our prisoner.
Aye, sir.
Avery, you're going to come along with us just in case we have translation issues.
Captain, I've never quite understood why you've been keeping him down on the planet. After all, wouldn't our brig be a bit more secure?
Possibly. But then, these people wouldn't get the sense of independence that's going to be needed to run things after we're gone. This way, he's their prisoner, and their responsibility. And they aren't getting one set of dictators in place of another.
I suppose so.
I'd still feel better if he were encased in transparent aluminum 50,000 miles above his supporters.
We can't always do things the easy way, Lieutenant. Sometimes we have to teach them how to fish.
Touchdown at the prison landing pad, Captain.
Stay with the shuttle, Lieutenant.
Aye, sir.
Avery, you're with me.
Were you expecting a welcoming party?
No, and it's not so much of a party as a single boy.
My humblest apologies, sir. I am looking for the new Prime.
I'm Captain Crichton. What's your name?
Gothia, sir. I am honored that you speak to me directly, my lord and master.
We don't stand much in formality. You can call me Crichton.
Honored Crichton, I have sent my family to bring you this tribute and to join your army.
Join my army? How old are you?
11 solar cycles, sir. I submit myself to your punishment for waiting so long to volunteer.
How old were you supposed to be to join up here?
I was supposed to pledge my loyalty last solar cycle.
10? What's a child supposed to do in the army?
Whatever you wish, master.
Don't call me that!
Mercy, sir!
It's okay, son. Don't worry. I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm not angry with you.
Remember, Captain, change takes time.
Thanks for the gift, kid. But Starfleet doesn't sign him up that young.
But we have heard of your new army. Don't you require all to join?
The militia we're forming is voluntary. Nobody gets drafted, and there's no way we're letting kids join. Go back to your family and tell them that things are changing. Enjoy your childhood while you can.
Are you sure, Mass... Crichton?
Yeah.
Thank you, Crichton! Thank you!
Let's get inside. I've got a few words for our guest. Got a mighty squeaky door there, Sheriff.
It was that way when I got here. But I reckon it helps us know if someone's coming in unexpectedly. What can we do for you, Captain?
Just figured I'd come down and see Sadapa. Talk with him a bit. See if he's out of his rhetoric phase and willing to hold a civilized conversation.
I could have saved you a trip, Captain. He's as belligerent and uncooperative as the day we threw him in there.
Is he being treated well?
Captain, should I be insulted that you would even ask that question?
Oh, I know you and your men know the rules of the game, but you aren't the only ones around him.
Doesn't help when you're getting it from all sides, does it, sir?
Can I see him?
I suppose so. Do you want to go in alone?
No. Avery will come in, too.
He wasn't quite what I had in mind. No offense, Avery.
None taken, Jake.
The guy's alone. Behind bars. I don't think there's much he can do to me at this point.
I suppose. But we'll be right on the other side of this door if you need us.
Appreciate it, Major. Let's go, Ensign.
Why are we doing this, Captain?
Which part?
Visiting the prisoner.
Oh, God, I'm getting tired of explaining our presence here.
Oh, no, sir. I actually understand that one. I just don't know what adding to your frustration by visiting him is going to accomplish.
Honestly, not real sure myself. I don't know if I'm hoping he'll show some regret or remorse, or at least acknowledge the fact that he's no longer in charge.
Are any of those things going to help you, sir?
I doubt it.
Or are you just searching for some confirmation that you've done the right thing?
Of course not. Do you think I did the right thing?
Captain.
You're right. I guess my ego has taken a bigger blow than I thought.
So good to hear, Captain. Perhaps you realize that you have no right to interfere and return me to my rightful place as master of all I survey.
And his ever-increasing ego doesn't help matters.
Actually, Captain, his ego is more damaged than anyone I've met in quite a long time.
He sure covers it well.
No, he doesn't, sir. Do you remember when we first met him, that first transmission?
Of course.
You called him a bully then, and you nailed it on the head. He enjoyed picking on those that were weaker than himself. It made him feel strong. That strength gave him overconfidence, which made him believe that he could tackle anything that came his way. Then we showed up.
And showed him something that he couldn't bully or defeat.
Exactly. But he couldn't allow himself to admit it. So he started running off at the mouth, trying to convince himself that he was still superior.
He was trying to convince himself, not me.
He's insane. He doesn't know what he speaks.
He knows better than either of us. It's his job. Part of his job.
Does that mean you'll let me start scheduling counseling sessions for the crew?
I won't go that far.
Can't blame a guy for trying.
You're both insane. When I get out of here, I'll personally lead the assault on your world.
Worlds, plural. Good luck with that. My homeworld is in the Gamma Quadrant.
The what-a-what?
There is a much larger universe out there than you can imagine, Sadapa. But, then again, you've been so consumed with trying to make the world revolve around you, it probably never dawned on you that there are more things in heaven and earth that are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Well spoken, Hamlet.
If you're gonna steal, always steal from the best.
What are you two blathering about?
Nothing that would be of any interest to you. Enjoy your trial, Sadapa. You've earned it.
I will!
I think I'm ready to leave now, Ensign. And thank you.
My pleasure, Captain. It took us a total of 3 months to get a military and political council put together before we left the system. And soon after, we found ourselves in the middle of the conflicts at Shiran.
And Starfleet was okay with Crichton dedicating those kinds of resources to something other than the war?
Not particularly. But they didn't do anything to stop us either. I like to think that there were enough people higher up that saw what we were doing as a good thing to run interference with those that would have roasted Captain Crichton on a barbecue spit.
That's an interesting bit of visualization.
A turn of phrase I picked up from Ringo Starkey, back aboard the Potemkin.
I'm surprised they didn't roast him. It was pretty blatant interference.
Remember, Eli, it was before the Prime Directive. In fact, I strongly believe that it was a contributing factor to its creation.
So what ended up happening with Asapi?
I told you, we put a functional government in place.
No, I meant in the years that followed. I haven't heard of the Asapis as members of the Federation.
Because they're not. After the collapse of Sadapa's regime, they decided not to pursue space travel beyond their own system. While they know, thanks to us, that there are other races out there, they've chosen not to pursue interaction with them.
But isn't the system now within Federation space?
Yes, but that doesn't mean we force them to join. It's not our style.
Did they at least achieve peace within their system?
Oh, yes. The leaders of all three planets got together and formed a coalition. There are trade agreements in place now, and they live quite comfortably together.
Did you ever recover the nuclear missiles?
We never found them on Asapi 3. I think, when we entered the system, the ship that had raided the Thistlegorm took off. Probably sold them on the black market.
But that was the whole reason you got involved!
No, it wasn't. It was what drew us to the area, but it wasn't the reason we stayed.
But those are weapons of mass destruction!
Sadapa's men had 400,000 tons of conventional explosives, not to mention their antimatter bombs, which they were using against their neighbors long before they ever encountered Starfleet. If those aren't weapons of mass destruction, I don't know what are.
Well, when you put it that way. Can I ask how many Makos were lost?
Too many. But then again, one is too many.
If that's the case, then why do it? Why get involved if the cost is too high?
The cost of war is always high, but it needs to be compared to the cost of not getting involved. Yes, we had to pay for the freedom of those planets with the lives of some of our people, but the natives on those planets were paying that cost long before we ever got involved. There is a price for everything. We chose to take over the payments and close out the account. If we had done anything less, we wouldn't have had the right to call ourselves a civilized race.
You have been listening to Star Trek Eras, Episode 4, Tough Decisions. Starring, in order of appearance, Jim Caswell as Avery, Ken Halloran as Ensign Eli Goldman, and Major Jacob Goldman, Doug Zeitlin as Lieutenant Commander Eugene Westlake, Greg Cheatham as Commander Cal Isaacs, and Tony Hopeful as Lieutenant Mary Fitzgerald. This presentation also debuted Ryan Gilbert as Captain Matthew Crichton and Zach DeWitts as Lieutenant Chang Lao. Tough Decisions also featured Dr. George Gauthier as Sadapa Prime, John Weatherby as Asapi Soldier No. 1, Chris Noble as Asapi Soldier No. 2, Dave Brockman as the Crestaran Prime Minister, and Tommy Gauthier as Gauthia. Eras is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, with Star Trek being the property of Paramount Studios, copyright 2009. Tough Decisions was written by Jim Caswell, edited by Ken Halloran, and mixed by Jim Caswell and Matt Halloran. Music was composed and produced by Matt Halloran. This has been a TWRPS Online presentation.